everyone, a very warm welcome to the latest episode of the Travel Podcast with me, your host, Hayley Sparks. It is lovely to have your company as always. This week, we've got a brand new topic for you. We're going to be talking about the Gambia, which is a small West African country known as the Smiling Coast of Africa. And it's earned that name thanks to the famously welcoming people. We're going to be joined by Esther, who's an independent travel consultant, and she's built some really strong personal connections in the Gambia over the years. She has 25 years of traveling there, so she really does know what she's talking about. Esther, welcome to the Travel Podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me on the podcast. The Gambia, I think, is my favourite subject. Every time people see me, they know that I'm going to talk about the Gambia. I've even been on trips with other travel consultants, and I'm always, oh, what about the Gambia? So this is my favourite subject. It's just a lovely place. The people are lovely. The minute the plane door opens, you feel the warmth of the air and the atmosphere. I used to go a lot in the winter time, so leaving, say, cold, wet England in January or late December or something like that, and then opening the plane door and it's just sunshine and everyone's smiling and people say welcome and how are you and how's the family. Everyone's so lovely.
It's wonderful. Well, we were lucky enough to talk prior to recording this podcast episode, and I cannot wait to share Esther's personal story with you about the Gambia. It practically had me in tears. So Esther, let's start at the beginning, your first ever trip, and what was the motivation to head over there in the first instance?
Oh, we'll rewind, say 25 years when you didn't really look on the internet for things. I think it was a Teletext advert I saw. I remember you used to turn the telly on and there'd be all this little writing, and I saw a Teletext holiday, allocation on arrival to the Gambia. I hadn't really knew much about the Gambia. I knew probably it was in Africa, and I thought, well, it's winter, somewhere different. Anyway, I arrived with my family. I think at the time my boys were 8 and 12, so it's quite a long time ago. And when we arrived at the airport, they literally, the plane stopped, and when they opened the undercase, all the bags were just thrown on the tarmac, and we had to identify our bags, and people came to help us sort of take them and put them on trolleys and then take them to the coach. And it was really weird. So when we got on the coach, we didn't know where we were going, and all I could remember is, I think Bob Geldof is going to jump out, or Lenny Henry. It felt like you'd arrived in Feed the World or something, and there's all these children shouting Tubab, Tubab, as the coach went. And I just thought, wow, what have I brought my family to? Anyway, we arrived in a hotel, Palmarima Hotel. The staff were lovely. The room was really lovely. Everything was just lovely about the hotel. And it was literally almost on the beach. Very cheap. I think we were bed and breakfast. Everything was so lovely. And I just remember thinking, why haven't I been here before? I just felt really at home. The beaches were empty. They were just beautiful white sandy beaches. And I used to go down to the beach every day, and they'd make this wonderful fruit salad. And there was a lovely fruit seller called Aisha who had two little boys, and she was quite heavily pregnant. And I used to go, and she always used to serve me fruit and always charge me the same. And she was so lovely. And I thought, well, on the last day, I will just take a few gifts there for her children. And when I went down to the beach, all the other fruit sellers were like, no, she's not here, she's sick. So I said, well, what do you mean she's sick? I've got some things for her children. And they called a taxi driver. Everyone's willing to help everyone. And this taxi driver, they spoke to him in their language, and he told us to get in the car and he'd take us to their house. So I thought, well, okay, then I'll go to her house. You know, it's not far. Well, when we got to her house, it was just literally like a shed. And she was lying there in the house, and apparently she spoke perfect English. They all speak really good English. She had malaria. She was quite sick. Her husband had really bad asthma. He was ill. He couldn't work. The two little kids were there. And I just said, she's got to go to the hospital. And they were like, we haven't got money for a hospital. So I gave the taxi driver, I think, the equivalent of about £30. I said, look, just take her to the hospital. She needs medicine, whatever. And then I went home and forgot all about it, really. And I said to my husband, look, I really want to go to the Gambier. It was such a lovely place. So we booked again, I think maybe the next April or something like that. And when I went down to the beach, I saw her and she came running to me, Esther, Esther. She remembered my name. I was thinking, well, what's her name again? You know, I completely forgot all about it. And she brought me to the fruit stand. She said, sit down. And then she pulled this box from underneath the fruit store. And I thought she was just going to get bananas or something to make fruit. And there's a little baby in there. And she took the baby out and gave me the baby and went, big Esther, because of you, little Esther's here. It's you. It's because of you she is here. And I just was like, oh my God, burst out crying. And I just fell in love with the country after that. So I had a namesake after me. And then I remember she used to always say to my husband, your one packet of cigarettes is my 1 month's rent. I can't remember what the cigarettes cost at the time. It was probably £5-6 a packet or something. And we had a discussion and he says, gosh, my one, every time I smoke a packet of cigarettes, I think about her 1 month rent. So we decided to rent her a property. And then I got talking to her and I said, why aren't your boys at school? And she says, well, I can't afford school. So then we decided to put her children in school. And as the years went on, the children went to school. Little Esther then went to school as well. She then had another little child who we put into school as well. And I always remember my late mum always used to say, never give a fisherman a fish, give him a fishing rod so he can help himself. Well, rewind 25 years on, they've all got good jobs. Little Esther works, the boys work, they've got good jobs. They were able to bring themselves out of that poverty trap and they helped their family. And I went back to the Gambia. I've been going over the years, but obviously during lockdown, I hadn't been. And I went back in January and I met up with her and we had a picture taken of us together and we had one from 25 years ago as well. So it's really got a close heart. I've got a close little spot there for the Gambia. But not only just that family, it's just everyone is so helpful and happy and lovely and there's so much to do and see there. And I went on a trip. I actually completely forgot about, you know, when I went to the Gambia, the beauty of it. It's a small country. It's the size of, say, Yorkshire. It's really small. It's got beautiful wildlife. And I went on a trip along the Gambia River along to Jufri, which is the ancestral home of Alex Haley, Kunta Kinte. And then it actually clicked. Oh, I remember watching that on telly when I was at school, Roots. So it's got a lot of culture. It's got a lot of culture, beautiful beaches, beautiful people. And I know every time I go to the Gambia and you're on the plane, people are either going for the 100th time or they've never been. It's a bit like Marmite. You either love it or hate it. But generally, when you meet people, they go, oh, yeah, I was here last year. I've been coming for years. It's a lovely place. Lovely people.
Oh, that was going to be my next question, Esther, about how you would describe it to, in a few words, how would you sum it up for somebody like myself that's never been to the Gambia?
I'd say it's like Marmite. You either like it or hate it. I wouldn't say you hate it. I actually haven't met anyone that does hate it. It's a great taste to a different culture, a different way of life, a different world. If you've only ever travelled in Europe, it's a nice taste to go to somewhere new that's not Europe, but it's still got the comforts of Europe because when you're in the hotel, you've got air conditioning, you've got internet, you've got TV, you've got food that you know, European food in there, but you've also got the cultural side of it that you can choose to go to. The people are so lovely, they want you to try their food. It's just so nice. So if you've never been, I'd always say try it. Maybe go to a hotel that's quite close to the beach so you don't have to walk too far to the beach, because you always find 100 friends. If you've never been before, you come out of your hotel and there's so many people that will want to be your friend and walk with you. But if you're polite to them and say, no, I've been before, I'm okay, then they leave you alone. It's fine. They just want to be friendly.
That's lovely. So for you, it's very much the people and the atmosphere and the happiness that they feel that is a big attraction.
Yes.
So Esther, apart from the incredible warmth that you get from the people in the Gambia, can you talk us through some of the other attractions and things that you can do whilst you're having a holiday there?
Well, you can stroke crocodiles, which is unbelievable. Boat crocodiles. In January, I took my granddaughter to the Gambia and I said to her, we're going to stroke crocodiles. So she thought I'd gone mad until she actually, there's an area where you can actually stroke crocodiles. They're live crocodiles. She didn't think they were live at first until they fed them and they sort of jumped up at the fish. And then she's like, I don't want to stroke those crocodiles. But you can stroke live crocodiles. Apparently they're sacred. So that's a must do. If that's the sort of thing you want to do, not everyone wants to stroke crocodiles. Definitely go on a lazy day riverboat tour, which takes you down the River Gambi. That's so lovely, and it just takes you right through the mangroves, and you can see just beautiful birds. Bird watching's amazing there. Or even just there's a 6-in-1 tour that you can do where you can go to a school. That's a must as well. It takes you to one of the local schools and the children. It's just lovely to see how the children are there. There's the Roots tour. That's a whole day. That's a really nice tour as well. But if you first time you go there, I'd recommend maybe going a 6-in-1, which takes you around. It's like an escorted tour around the markets and then to the wood carving area and then to one of the local schools, then to the Paradise Beach. And then to, I think you go to Tangi's, the fish market as well. There's another thing which I can't remember off the top of my head, but that's quite a good opener to the Gambia. That's a nice one. And you can also do a tour that takes you to Senegal, because that's the Gambia is so small. It's just in between, not in between, it's like the tongue of Senegal. Senegal wraps around the outside of the Gambia and you can walk with lions in Senegal.
Wow, so lots of things to do for nature lovers. And do you always go at the same time of year, Esther, or have you been at different times?
I used to like to go in December because I hate the winter. I get that sadness, you know, where it's dark and miserable. So I used to like going December, January time. But I have been in April, I've been in February, I've been in January, later January. I used to go sort of like a Christmas type thing. I actually used to go for Christmas, and Father Christmas was on the beach. And I say Father Christmas, it was actually Luigi that owned the Italian restaurant there. He'd dress up as Father Christmas.
Oh, brilliant.
My son thought Father Christmas spoke, but had an Italian accent, and was on a sledge on sand for quite a long time.
And in terms of travellers that the Gambia appeals to, is it families, couples, solo travellers, people looking for adventure, luxury? How would you describe the kind of traveller that the Gambia you think would appeal to?
I think it would appeal to, there's so many different types of hotels you can stay in. There's the ones that are sort of out of the way, say in a place called Sangyang or Gunja, which is not really where all the mad tourist area is, which is peaceful and calm, which are really good for, say, like yoga retreats and calmness, that type of thing. Or if you just want it a bit more peaceful. Or there's in the heart of everywhere where there's nightlife till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Or there's the luxury hotels which have got swim up pools and they're literally on the beach. So there's something, absolutely something for everyone there. The beaches are beautiful, white sandy beaches. It's very safe as well. I've never felt threatened at all when I've been in the Gambia. Very, very safe. You can go out and come back and not feel. And if you want to know where something is, people are really helpful. They'll help you and direct you in the to the right place and for what you need. You just need to mention you want something and someone will show you where it is or get it for you.
Oh, that's so lovely. Just coming back to the warmth of the people. And I really think wherever you go in the world, it is the people that actually make your holiday experience, and they make you feel so welcome and they're helping you and want to make friends. I think that is really, really what it's all about. Are there any hidden gems or lesser known places that you'd recommend in the Gambia for people to seek out?
Oh, I think the hidden gems are probably if you go away from the tourist areas and you go through the villages and you go to the north bank and you actually see literally when the children hear, it's they're going back to the people, they hear like a car because it's more horse and cart there. They all come running out and it's just amazing and they're waving with their smiley faces. So I think the hidden gems are the far out places that aren't really in the tourist area. A friend of mine, she went out there about four, she was a social worker in England. She went out there about, her daughter's 28 now, maybe 25, 26 years ago. And she set up a charity called the Glove Project. And she helps amputees, children that have maybe been born with deformed limbs. And she helps them get prosthetic limbs. And she actually cares for them and organises treatment and things like that for them. And she actually just went out there on a holiday and didn't really come back.
Oh, wow. That's so incredible to be giving back and actually making such a difference. No wonder that the Gambia is such a sort of big part of your life and that you're keen to talk to everybody about it. Doing my own research, or is saying that reading that the Gambia, it says, is rooted in friendliness and respect. Greetings matter over there. And in talking about the sort of dress code, that modest dress is appreciated outside of the tourist areas. Do you factor that in, Esther, on your trips, what you take?
To be honest with you, around the tourist areas, because I actually took a group out there in February, and one of the ladies was like, do I need to wear cover up? Where, literally in the tourist areas, you can lie on the beach in a bikini, you can go to the shops in shorts and t-shirt, no problem at all. If you go to the villages, I mean, I've never particularly covered up more than just my shoulders. I've never thought, oh, I must cover my head or anything like that. The only time I once covered my head was I think I was in a village, and they said that it was a special holy something or other, and they said if you go inside, it might be in a mosque or something, I don't know, you needed to cover your head. But apart from that, I just dress as I would anywhere else. I mean, I would think you wouldn't walk around in a bikini or anything like that. But if you've just got a summer dress on, fine. No one ever, you know, the people there actually are not, even though it's 90% Muslim country, they're not actually covered up at all. They might have a head covering, but generally people are just like they are in the West. They're not really, it's quite liberal. And everyone gets on with everyone. They all celebrate each other's different things that are going on. So at Christmas, they will be doing Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas on the beach. And then when they've got their festivals, they all join in. And that's one of the key things. Everyone gets on with everybody.
That's so lovely, and always such an example to the rest of the world.
Oh, definitely.
When you find countries of different religions, different cultural heritage, that all can worship together, side by side, respect each other's religious beliefs, practices and celebrations. Isn't that just how the world should be, which is just so wonderful? And Esther, I'd love to find out more about the food. Obviously, for the foodies listening, it's a big highlight of travelling to different destinations, is trying some of the local cuisine. Obviously, you built that incredible friendship through visiting your friend on her fruit stall. So I can imagine that the freshness and the variety of the fruit to start with would be beautiful there.
Definitely. And also the food, they tend to eat as a group. So as you walk along the beach, there'll be, say, groups of men who might be fishermen or might be selling fruit juice or whatever. They will all sit down and eat together. They tend to sort of segregate as men will sit together, women will sit together type thing. But I've often been on the beach. I've had my hair plaited on the beach, and they suddenly come with a bowl of food and they go, come on, join us. And I remember once taking a taxi somewhere and they said, oh, call your taxi driver. And I went, oh, do you know him? They went, no, but we're all eating now. You can't leave him there. And I was like, okay, then. You know, so when they have food, they will give, everybody will share their food. And they've got this massive big bowl of this food that tastes amazing. They've got some really lovely rice dishes. They've got my favourite one is Benichim, which is a bit like chicken biryani, which is really nice.
Oh, that's so lovely. And I'm sure, again, that helps build these relationships and a sense of community over there by inviting strangers to eat together, get to know each other, make friends. That's just absolutely lovely. And you mentioned, Esther, one of the other huge benefits for people considering a trip to the Gambia is the affordability. So we can talk a little bit about that and maybe where to stay and how to make the most of their budget.
Well, it's very, very good value for money. When you eat out, very, very reasonable. I mean, I would personally, if you've been a few times, I'd never do more than bed and breakfast because there's so many lovely places to eat. If it's your first time there, then maybe half board, because then you know you've got your breakfast and your evening meal. If you've been more than once, I'd definitely only do bed and breakfast because there's so many places to eat. And you could also, if you didn't want to go out of the hotel, then add on buying food in the hotel if you wanted to. As an example, myself and my partner, we were out there in April, and a meal for two with drinks was under £20. Because the exchange rate is really good at the moment. It was like, is that it? Really? You know, and you can buy alcohol out there. So you, no one frowns upon you drinking alcohol. They make the most amazing pina coladas. So that's fantastic for me. I love pina coladas.
Well, that's great. Again, traveling with, if you've got a big family and you enjoy eating out and really kind of getting immersed in the local culture and eating with the locals, then that affordability coming into play, if you're looking at sort of £20 kind of price for a meal, I mean, that's just really affordable.
Yeah, with alcohol as well. And if you wanted to, say, have pizza, Italian food, Luigi's has been there for years. He's got the place at the hotel, the airport. When you leave, you can get pizza, you can get burgers, you can get all types of food there, Indian, African food, pizza, everything. And it's all really reasonably priced. In one of the hotels I stayed in last time I went, there was like, I only was bed and breakfast, but they had a lovely buffet in the evening, which was only about £18 if you wanted to join the buffet. And one night I decided to stay in because they had this amazing fire eaters and entertainment. So, you know, hotel price £18, but all you can eat buffet was just really cheap as well.
Great. And as you say, somewhere lovely to go for winter sun as well, when we want to escape the miserable weather over here, to have that affordability and so much to offer. Esther, after so many years of traveling there, what do you hope people will take away if they visit the Gambia for the first time, and what stays with you every time that you leave?
Well, I think people will take away how lucky we are to have as much as we do have. And I don't think we appreciate what we have here, because they will make the best of anything that they have. They appreciate anything that you give them. What I actually really noticed, I think I'm noticing it more now, is because the children here are all, I don't know, they've got their face in a computer or a phone. The children aren't like that there, and they want to come and talk to you and practice their English and things like that. And a lot of the children are maybe selling fruit. They've got baskets of fruit and mint on their head, and they're happy to talk to you. And even if you don't want to buy it, they just ask you, what's your name? How are you? And they like to practice their English on you and things like that. So what I take away from it is that they're so happy and smiling. And what I actually took away from it the last time, because it was mango season, they had these massive mangoes that we can't even afford in this country, and they're all eating them. I was like, where'd you get that from? And one of them took it. Here, you can have one. Would you like to taste it? I was like, wow.
Oh, that's so lovely. And that is the kind of thing that is quite life-changing, really, to come away from a holiday with so much more than just your holiday photos, your time in the sun, to have made friendships. You've actually changed people's lives, Esther. You know, you've actually had a massive impact on a family there, which must be incredibly rewarding. But to leave a destination having, as you said, these lovely interactions, helping the children with their English, eating with strangers, making new friends, I just think that's so much more than a standard holiday would offer you.
Definitely.
Oh, Esther, it's been so lovely to talk to you. Your passion for the Gambia shines through. You've definitely inspired me, and I'm sure you will have inspired so many of our listeners to look into it and consider it for a future destination. It sounds like it's a beautiful place with incredible people and could be quite a life-changing experience.
Definitely, definitely. Never rule things out until you've tried them. That's what I say to people. Give everything a go. I mean, if I hadn't been there, I'd have a piece missing in my heart. So I think it's amazing.
Oh, Esther, well, we think you're amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening. I hope Esther has inspired you. As always, do get in touch with the travel consultant who sent you this podcast for more information on any future trips that you're interested in. They're always here to help. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next week.